camp?
It's good.
Good? Good. Well, you know, there was a lot of preparation for your camp. There was a lot of people praying, and that's what helps things to be successful. So if there is a title to this message, I would say it would be Prepare to be Successful. So we're in chapter 10 of Matthew, and Jesus, from what you've read prior, Jesus has picked his 12 men. Jesus has commissioned them to go out and spread the gospel, heal people, raise the dead. And Jesus is telling his men, his disciples, which, does anyone know another word for a disciple? Student. Excellent. In the New Testament times, learners would find a teacher, and they would live with that teacher, they would study with that teacher, they would travel with that teacher. Everything they did for that period of time, they were with that teacher. And not only did they want to learn from the teacher, they wanted to become like the teacher. And this is the manner in which Jesus taught his disciples. So we're going to look here, starting in verse 16. And I'm using the New King James Version. I don't know what any of you use, but that's what I'm using. So hopefully you can follow along. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Now, when the disciples heard the word behold, it was a key for them. It meant, this is important. Listen up. I have something to say. Behold, I believe, means to see. So he's telling them, pay attention, close attention. This is serious. He says, behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Remember, it's Jesus who is sending these people out. And it's Jesus who had spent all this valuable time teaching them what it is that he wants them to go and do. He wants them to be successful. You know, in everything that we get involved with, it's very important to know what you're getting into. You know, you just can't sign on the dotted line and say, I want to do this or I want to do that without finding out everything that this is about. And this is what Jesus is about to tell them. So he's sending them out. They should be comfortable. But prior to this time, Jesus has provided everything for them. He's protected them. He's been there when there have been situations with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And so this is something new. It's almost, you could say, this is where their faith is going to take on leather. They're going to be sent out, and they are going to be doing what it is that Jesus has shown them to do. And if you remember, Jesus says oftentimes that he has only given us what the Father has given him. And he asks us only to give to others what he has given us. And so he says he's going to send them out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Does anybody here watch the Animal Channel? Animal Kingdom? Well, you know, I watch it a lot, and sheep are pretty timid animals when you're being compared to wolves. So Jesus is telling them that he's sending them out as sheep amongst wolves. So these men have been with Jesus. They are meek men. They are humbled men. They are harmless men. And he's sending them out amongst wolves who are ferocious. And who do you think the sheep's worst enemies are. The wolves. So he's sending them out amongst the wolves. It may seem like a cruel thing that he's doing, but I'm not sure exactly at this point in time how long the disciples have walked with Jesus. We know Jesus was on earth in his ministry some 3 years, I believe. So give or take a year or so, I don't know how long they've been traveling, but he's telling them that it's time. And again, this is about preparation. This is how Jesus is asking them to do their ministry. And so he's going to send them out amongst wolves, which in a general sense, wolves could be the people that are unbelievers. In this case, he's most generally talking about the false prophets, the false teachers, the Pharisees, the people that are coming and making life not so good for believers, telling them that they should be this way or should that way, contrary to what Jesus has been preaching to them. Therefore, be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Now, does anyone here like snakes? When we think of snakes scripturally, what do we think of? The devil, Satan, right. Well, I don't like snakes either, but snakes probably get a bad rap. Snakes are just another one of God's creation. So Jesus isn't saying for us, he's using a metaphor here or a simile where they're comparing two different things. He's not saying that he wants you to be like a serpent, but he's saying that in these times, in ancient times, the Philistines and a lot of ancient groups thought that snakes were wise, shrewd, crafty. I listened to John Corson speak, and John Corson, who's a Calvary Chapel preacher, told a story of a family that found out that there was a 25-foot python living underneath their house. They had no idea that it was there. So if you don't think that snakes are shrewd, then try to explain how you don't know that there's a 25-foot python underneath your house. So he's telling them he's going to send them out as he's asking them to be wise as serpent and harmless as doves. Doves back in those days were very plentiful. Doves were clean. They were harmless. And they were one of the animals that the Israelites were able to use as sacrifices. So we know sacrifices, when a sacrifice is made back in those days, it had to be an unblemished, it had to be a clean animal. So doves were just that. So Jesus is telling them. And remember, keep in mind, this is how to do your ministry. He's telling them, this is how to do your ministry. Be wise as a serpent. Be innocent as a dove. Verse 17. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. The word beware is a word that is a continual keep watch. Always be watchful. I mean, police officers and your parents and your teachers, they tell you, be aware of your surroundings. Always be aware of your surroundings. Jesus is saying, always be aware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils. Now, these councils were part of the Sanhedrin. They were part of the governing body of the church. The scribes and Pharisees, there were in the Sanhedrin, there were three major, I guess we could look at them like our court system. There was a high court, which was made up of 71 people, and that was in Jerusalem. There was a lower court made up of 23 judges, and if there was 125 Jewish members in a community, that was dealt with by 23 members. Anything less than 125 people, there were three judges. What's interesting about these judges had the ability, this is what happened to Paul and some of the apostles, they scourged the people up to 40 lashes. And the way that they did it was very precise. The candidate, if you will, had to be in a particular position. The person administering the stripes had to be in a particular position. And the whole time, they were reciting scripture while they were administering these scourges. So Jesus is telling them to beware that you're going to be delivered up by the councils and you may be scourged by the synagogues. So the councils were pretty much going to be against them, and the religious community was going to be against them. Verse 19. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in that hour what you should speak. So Jesus is telling them to, it's not when you're going to be delivered up, but these men are going to deliver it up. You know, I was listening to the news the other day, and one of the commentators mentioned that they believe that Christianity has set our world behind 1,500 years. I've seen the look on your face. They believe that believers, we're the problem. We're the problem. But Jesus is identifying that the problem is not us. And when you are delivered into these situations, what he's saying is, I want you to concentrate on what I'm asking you to do. Go out and spread the gospel. Heal people. I'm asking you to concentrate on that. When they deliver you up, I don't want you to have a worry or a concern about dealing with these people. Because at that time, I'm going to give you the answers through the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is going to be there. So do not be concerned. And you know, I could say that's for us. I mean, how many times have you been somewhere, maybe sitting reading your New Testament Bible or reading the little booklets that you have. I love those, the little survival things. You're reading that somewhere and someone comes up and says, hey, what are you reading? And, you know, you might want to sit on it or put it in your pocket because you don't have you don't know what to say. But at that time, you know, you just shoot out a little prayer and say, Lord, help me speak to this person. Those opportunities are going to come, and they're going to come from the Holy Spirit. So don't worry about, you know, we're trying to follow the Lord and we're trying to do things in his manner. And so he'll provide for us. Oftentimes it's said, where God guides, God provides. So let's see, verse 20. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. And really, that's what we want. We want to be following the Holy Spirit whenever we have the opportunity, always if we can. Our flesh gets in the way sometimes, but that really is this is what God has called us to be. Become just like the disciples. You know, they wanted to learn what Jesus had to say, but they also wanted to become just like Jesus. Verse 21, now brother will deliver up brother to death, and father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. So if you see, Jesus is telling them everything that is going to happen to them. You know, he's not holding back in any regard. I mean, so far, I don't know how you're viewing this, but it might not be painting a very nice picture for these people. I mean, someone might say, you know what, I'm just I'm going to bag this and go home. I'm done with it. But it's important to know what it is that you're getting yourselves involved to. So he's telling us that there's going to be strife. You know, there's going to be strife from your family. There's going to be persecution from your families. And there's always strife and there's always contention. When? When two peoples, when two groups could not come to any kind of compromise. I mean, the world says that life should be this way. We as believers are following God, and we say that it should be this way. We should be following the Lord's way. And so there's always going to be that contention. And he's telling them, this is the way that it's going to be. And they have to decide. And, you know, we've got all these other books, so we know that they decided very well. They elected to continue and be with the and follow the Lord. So they're going to be persecuted by their families. And verse 22, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. We have to keep in mind, we have to keep in mind that to say that we're hated, I don't think individually they're saying, I hate Glenn, or I hate Pastor Tyson, or I hate any one of us individually. But the world has a different way of looking at things, and we have a different way of looking at things. And so, remember, they don't really hate us. Jesus is saying, you're going through these things because of me. And you know, I think that's okay. I mean, we want to do things because of Jesus, because of what he's done for us. So he's telling the disciples, you know, they're hating you because they hate me, and these things are being done because of my sake, and I'm asking you to endure. And that's what all of us have to endure. We all have to endure. We all have to overcome these different things that come about in our lives. Verse 23, when they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. Wherever we're at, whatever we're doing, I don't believe we should be persecuted for the sake of persecution. I think this is what Jesus is saying. When your ministry has run its course in an area, move to another area. Don't stay in an area where God isn't working. But you have to continue presenting the gospel to people, but you don't have to continue to be persecuted. So Jesus says in verse 24, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. You know, all that we do, we're asked to humbly serve. We're asked to do what the disciples have done. We're asked to do what Jesus has done. And Jesus is our master, and we continually get our information from the master. You may be put in a situation where you're in some leadership, but remember, you're following Jesus. It never becomes about us. And so when they have said nasty things to Jesus, we should expect no different. They'll say nasty things about us, but we know what's true and we know what's not true. Jesus was always faithful to the word, and that's what we need to be. We need to be also faithful to the world. Verse 25, is it enough for a disciple that he be like his teacher and a servant like his master? If they called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more will they call these of his household? So again, this world was against Jesus. This world is going to be harsh towards us. He's telling the disciples, this is just how it's going to be. This is, you know, do any of you play sports? Okay. So when you're playing sports, whatever it is that, you know, let's say you're a quarterback and all you envision is throwing touchdowns, or say you're a receiver and all you envision is catching the ball, or you're a basketball player or a runner. If you don't realize that in order for you to make these events happen in sports, that there's some hard work that you're going to be involved with. You're going to have to run, maybe lift weights. You know, if someone just said, yeah, you're just going to go out there on whatever field that you're playing and you're going to be a great athlete, that would be an incorrect message to you. And so this is what Jesus is doing. You know, if you're going to be my disciple, if you're going to be a student of this word, this is what's going to be happening to you. So, you know, he continues, therefore, do not fear them, for there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be known. Through all of these different, you know, being persecuted by family, being persecuted by the government, being persecuted by the religious leaders, all these things that he's telling them, fear not, because this is what's going to go on, and at some point in time, sin is going to be exposed. Like Pastor, I don't know if any of you were over there, but Pastor Tony was saying this morning, he read the end of the book. He knows we win. And that's what I can say to us as well. We're called to endure, and we're called to, you know, continue. And here in verse 26, he's telling us that we shouldn't fear because we know these things. Going in, if you're an athlete, you know what it is that you have to do to get to that level of competition and to be successful. And this is what Jesus is telling them. So do not fear them. God will bring everything to light someday. Sin will be gone, and the knowledge of God will be known. Every knee will bow and say that Jesus Christ is Lord. So, this may be a little short, but in recap, you know, first of all, I think the application for each of us is that God has called each of us to serve. And whatever capacity that is for you, that would be between you and the Lord. Be wise. Be innocent. Know that there's going to be persecution. But it's all worth it. Someday, sin will be gone, and we will receive the rewards that we have for doing the ministry that we're called upon. Amen.